everything. Did you remember to sleep? What a surprise. Let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you. So let's go kick some art.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly brought to you this December thanks to Creative Communities. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and find us on Spotify. Now tonight we have in the studio the team from the film Chasing Stars. We're catching up with the singer-songwriter Aja and we catch up with author Peter Millett. But first, to kick off the show, as Christmas is fast approaching, here is Stan Walker's favourite part about Christmas.
What's your favourite part about Christmas? Is it the presents or is it the songs? I wrote your name on top of my wish list. You're all that I want, yeah, all that I want, you're all that I want, yeah, 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 yeah. Ain't got no mistletoe, summer it never snows, Rudolph won't need to pull no sleigh. Wears a coat, but make sure that milk is cold. Don't eat his cookies off the plate. This is the happiest time of the year. Cause everyone I love is here. And that's my favorite part about Christmas. It isn't the presents or singing the songs. I wrote your name on top of my wish list. You're all I've been missing. Having you here with me is all that I want. Hey. You're all that I want. Hey. Hey. Wake up before the sun, straight to the tree we run. Can't take the smile up off my face. Hey, hey, laughter, kisses and hugs. This place is filled with love. That's all I need on Christmas Day. This is the happiest time of the year. Cause
fabulous Stan Walker to kick off our show. This is our last live show for 2024, Emma, because we've made a pretty magical pre-recorded special Christmas and New Year show.
We sure have, because after all, who wants to be in the studio on those days?
I know, I know. You've had a busy week again, and we've had both had a very busy weekend.
Just wrapping up everything, last lessons of the year, which was fantastic. And on Friday, I went along to APAA's The Wizard of Oz and saw, I think I saw Cast East. Fantastic group of students. And, you know, it's always cool to see that many kids on stage having a good time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Speaking of having a good time, last night you and your queens were performing with the Queen Street Cabaret. It was a big night in Auckland last night. It was the massive speedway happening. We had Christmas in the park, and right in the middle in Greyland was the good old Queen Street Singers.
Yeah, it was a really good night. It was. It was really fun performing again. It's been 4 years since Queen Street have done a Christmas-specific gig.
Right.
So it was really nice to be back with the OG Queens and with some of the students from State. Antics. And yeah, it was a really fun night. Really fun night.
It was a nice party vibe, which was really what you want this time of the year. And then you and I were out today at the NAP denominations for 2024. That was a big day.
So the Northern Performing Arts Theatre Awards, and which acknowledges theatre across Zone 1, Zone 1 going from Kerikeri to Pukekohe. So there were, I think the judges said they judge 32 shows through the year, plays and musicals, so that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a big commitment. So well done to everybody involved in the NAPTAs. Now, tonight we have a very different sort of group in to kick off our show, and it's a very unique film called Chasing Stars, which has been created over the last couple of years by students and staff at Marist College in Auckland. So we welcome teacher and filmmaker guru, I'm going to say, Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. And to performers slash actors, producers, everything by the sounds of it, Maddie and Ava, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, Ava, I'm going to start with you because at the big premiere that I was lucky enough to sit and watch, you were very much leading the night. So I feel like you're the best person, first of all, to tell us just what is the storyline behind Chasing Stars, and then we'll unpack how it all came about.
Chasing Stars, is a lot about finding yourself and finding who you are and who you want to be and how you want to show yourself to the world. But it's also a bit about finding justice and the truth and just helping people to just be who they are. That's what I took away from it, at least.
That's cool. That's cool. Now, Keith, there's not too many schools that embark on making a full feature-length movie. How long was this in total, the movie?
The movie was 190 minutes, so just over... No, it wasn't that long, sorry. It was 90.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've been telling people 75.
No, it was 79 minutes.
79
minutes.
That's
so, cool. Yeah, just over an hour.
And this has been a two-year project, is it, from start to finish, or more than that?
It's been a two-year project, maybe a little bit more. We started thinking about it and brainstorming even before that. But I had an attempt at doing a movie with the school at my previous school, and we had a good time with it, but we realised that 1 year wasn't enough. Mm. So a year for writing the screenplay and teaching screenwriting, developing ideas, and then a year for filming and editing and everything else.
It would be quite a good project for schools that maybe do IB, where, you know, IB's kind of taught over 2 years, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely whatever framework you've got, 2 years would be minimum, I'd say, for a project of this scale. Mm. Doing a feature film in a school is something a lot of schools don't do, probably for a reason. But we think ambitious goals are fun. And also, the mindset was there's no better way to learn about film than actually doing it. Mm. And a feature rather than a short allows for a full story, but also it's allowed for all of the music to come in. And we've released a full soundtrack for the film, so that wouldn't be possible with a short.
We'll unpack the music shortly, but take us back. What sparked it off in the first place? Was this something that you just decided, hey, let's do it, and then pitch it out to the students? Or did the students come and harass your door till you said yes?
No, I don't think there was much of that at first. It was more suggesting the idea and seeing if there was interest. I was keen because I'd started to do it at a previous school and wanted to continue with that. My wife had told me never to do that again because she saw the stress that it had on me. And I was sort of, I thought, well, I'm not sure, we'll see how we go. And then I actually saw one thing that the school does very well is the music and arts performance nights. And there was, I saw Maddie performing and someone was dancing to the, someone we may know was dancing to the performance, and the combination of dance and music, I just thought, no, we have to do something. So I pitched the idea and it sort of grew from there.
And Ava, how did you sort of storyboard the story? Like, where did the script come from?
The script, this is probably like the 20th iteration of the script. It started end of 2022, and we started just like what genre, what do we want it about? And then it was like we wanted it in a school, but then we were like, everything in our life is about school, so let's move it away from that. And we knew we wanted it, like my goal was I wanted to show like a lot of that kind of female friendships and how like through like so we're so strong and within our bond. So that's what I wanted to show. Because it was a group of us. It was about 10 or so.
Yeah, about 10 writers to begin with.
And yeah, so it kind of started with just a lot of chatting in the first bit. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, what can we bring to the table almost? And then it turned into, so let's move away from school, let's have these characters. But then it was, once we got our cast, it was how do we show our cast's talents? Mm-hmm. How do we show them to their greatest, like, self? Like, how can we represent that? And that was kind of where the story went, was along with the people that were...
Yeah, we had a draft, and then we cast it, and then we did the rest of the writing after it had been cast.
Yeah.
So a lot of the rest of the direction it went was based on the actors that we had cast, and we sort of wrote it around them.
Now, you said you started with about 10 writers.
Yeah.
So how many did you end up with? Like, at the end of the process, how many of them have kind of
faded away? We
ended up
looking at a five-act structure and dividing each act, assigning it to one writer to do a draft. Then there was a lot of discussions, a lot of changes, a lot of... but such great ideas from the students, and they really came with the... You know, I asked them what's it like to be a teenager in 2023, which is when we were writing it, and one of the responses was, everything's fake. Mm. And that kind of was a spark for having the two worlds of the film that we had, which is the sort of fake or like inauthentic world of global music and the authentic world of Willow and Marama and who they really are and finding the truth.
Now, Maddie, there's a lot of music in this film, and we're going to talk later about the international recognition around that. So you played a big part in the music side?
Yeah, so, sorry. I was one of the musical directors for the film, so I actually wasn't the first one to start out with. I came in later, but then I really kind of took the lead on that process. So we had a whole bunch of songwriters, like, and they were all students as well. So... I remember we had one day where we just workshopped everything all together
that
in the studio.
That was my favourite day ever working on the film.
It was like five of us, and we just, the whole day we were just writing songs, writing little bits for the soundtrack, and that's really where it all came together. And then aside from that, we grabbed music from friends and stuff. We really put it out there to like lots of people, do you have music? Do you have any songs that you would like to be used in this film? And then we got a few responses from that. So,
and then we even got our music teacher who releases her own music, who has just released her own music, and she's on the soundtrack as well, which we thought was super cool.
Mm. Yeah, we're very happy to have her there.
You involved a lot of staff from your school, and I think, A, that's a testament to your school that staff were happy to show their faith and do a film with you. But why was that so important to have them so involved? Because they all, right through to your senior management, have little cameos in it.
Yeah. Well, that role ended up landing on me, was getting more like cameos. And I found in assemblies, everyone loves it when the teachers pop up and like the little videos, or it's like the raps or whatever. So I was like, we need to get the teachers, because it's what the Marist community love, is getting the people we know like just involved. And I thought that was, and it was just so fun having them. It was also quite weird having them at some points, because as a director I was like, okay, so maybe if you're a bit more confident in this bit. And then I'd go in class, they'd be like, I have a shush, like, it was always having weird going from set to school with them teachers, but it was super cool having them.
And you were lucky because you had your drama teacher, Kirsty Hamilton, play quite a role in the show, and I mean, she's no stranger to performing and performances. It was really funny, Emma, trips down memory lane. I was clearing out the storage unit yesterday, you know, 30-something years of different shows and all sorts. We only did one corner, and here was Kirsty Hamilton's CV and application for a job with us at Kids for Drama when she was in her 20s, because she took over after you left.
Small world. Very small world. And I was going to say, in regards to, it wasn't just teachers from school that you had in the movie. You had some well-known Kick Arts friends in there as well. I was watching the trailer earlier, And there was our friend Loud Shirt Man. He's not wearing loud shirts in your movie, though, no. Is he? Mr. Steve Lyons.
Steve Lyons, yeah. Steven's done a lot of improv with me, and so we're good friends from improv, so it just made sense to bring him in. Mm. And also Laurie Dunger, who's also a very good improviser and actor, so we're really lucky to have them involved. Just story-wise, we needed some adults.
Yeah.
I think in the tavern scene, whether we've got a full Irish pub with one adult. Yeah. But,
no, and two. Maybe three and my grandma, my mum and my grandma.
Oh, that's true. One teacher, wasn't it? Several adults. But Ava was actually produced. We made her co-producer in the end as well as director. So Ava was able to just bring all these people in. She's got real skills in being able to get a crowd together. So she was able to get the staff on board and extras for the tavern scene and all that.
And what about getting the actual locations themselves? Like, what was that challenge like?
So that... well, the tavern, thankfully, one of my co-stars, Casey Conway, they own that pub, so she was able to just offer it us to that. And then a lot of the other locations were in school, and then you did the rest of them.
A lot of them were around the school and making. One of the skills that we were trying to, show was how to make a small space that we had in the school look like it could be anywhere. And I was thinking of doing the tavern scene in the drama room, but Ava was like, no, we have to have higher standards than that. So we were so lucky to have the Clear Inn offer that venue, which is just so good. And then I was trying to look for, one of our students had written this beautiful scene where Willow goes back to her old childhood home in this grass. The student really, Zoe, really described the scene really well in her screenwriting. So we were trying to find a place like that, and I just kept on hoping to find that place, and I couldn't find anywhere. So in the end, we just did that at my house.
Yeah, but it worked. It worked. I love that scene. Yeah.
It's a new development. There were just these empty sections up the road with all this long summer grass that was there, so it was perfect for Willow's song.
Great music video for you. So going around the room now, I want you to answer, what was your biggest challenge during the journey and your biggest learning? If you were to do it again, now they might not be connected, okay? What was your biggest challenge? And if you were to do the film again, what was your biggest learning?
My biggest challenge was probably, this sounds really bad, but giving up control, because I'm an insane control freak. You guys will both know, especially Ms. Patterson. Letting other people do it
because it's your baby.
It really was, and I one of my biggest learning was that it wasn't just my baby. It was also Mr. Patterson's. So I had to step back. At some point, I definitely didn't step back. But that, as well as managing my time. Because I would put everything into something so minor in the film, and then there was my RE assessment due in 2 days. So that was well. And then for the next film, probably... I'm actually not sure.
I love how I love how you're talking about the next film.
Ava's
actually creating her own short film after this.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so we've finished that filming. That's a whole different world of what we're doing, something
great.
Else.
Great, we'll talk about that at the end. That's okay.
I'll pass it over to Maddie, and I'll think Maddie, about what I'll do.
Biggest challenge, biggest learning?
Biggest challenge... probably like not a cool one, but I had to wear contacts as part of my role, which I'm so bad with my eyes. Like, I have friends who try to do my makeup, they try to do my eyeliner, and I'll just start crying because I can't have anything touch my eyes. So that was kind of a challenge, but I was up to it because I was like, we want it to look good, we want it to feel authentic. I mean, the reason for that was because they actually cast the younger version of me, they cast her before me, and she had brown eyes. And then I came along, and I had blue eyes, and they're like, oh. So I was like, oh, I'll wear contacts. And then there was a lot of pain and struggle that happened, crying before scenes because I couldn't get them in. But so that was a challenge,
You mean you didn't have a trailer with a full makeup team just looking after you?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Next time. Next project. Yeah.
Well, luckily we had like one of my best friends. She did all the makeup for everybody, so that was really awesome to have her doing that. Yeah.
And biggest learnings you'd take into another project?
Manage your time. I have to manage I'm really bad at managing my time. I tend to put all my effort into like the things that I enjoy the most and then disregard everything else, like Ava was saying. Yeah. And it's kind of a problem because then I end up with gaps and stuff. But, you know, it's all right.
Look, Stephen and I do it all the time.
Yeah. Time management. And Keith, biggest challenge other than keeping Ava in line by the sounds of it?
Oh, definitely just keeping everything in balance. I think. Yeah. For me, this is an educational project. So you're trying to essentially teach leadership skills for the most part, but also learning about all the different aspects of film. So balancing the need to manage the whole project with also trying to let individual leaders shine or the cast shine, and also being that safety net to come in when someone's not available, when someone says, actually, I can't do this anymore, or when you're halfway through a film scene and someone says, oh, Mum's here to pick me up, sorry, I forgot, I've got ballet or something like that. And then adjusting, and I think there were times when, well, I was Ava's got photos of me underneath the table or holding a microphone and doing the camera. So
it's like, one time there were three people on set, me, another actor, and Mr. Patterson on everything behind the camera. That was where it was... got hard. And
yeah, so you've got a baseline of this is what the project could be, and you're focusing as a teacher on the learning for every scene and the, developing the leadership skills. But then at the same time, we've got all these amazing students who are just pushing and pushing the standard and have higher sometimes expectations of the standard than I do. And in the end, I ended up learning as much probably from the students as they did certainly from me. And they pushed the standard that much higher.
So if you did it again, what would you take into the next one?
I think if I were to do it again at the same school, there would be that base of knowledge and understanding that's already there. So that's something I would really look forward to if I did another one, was the fact that you'd be talking about sound recording and people would already know a little bit what you're talking about. Talking about cinematography, and there's already some juniors that have had some experience with that. So this was starting from scratch, and all the skills and all the learning from scratch. But I think there's a base now of skills that could continue.
Plus, you'd have a staff that trusts the end process because the end product was outstanding. So now you would have that base as well of people probably who would go, hey, I can help you because I know the end result is worth it.
And I can visualise what the end result is. I can imagine being in that cinema and seeing what the finished product would look like.
Now, you two girls played the same role earlier this year in Priscilla Queen of the Desert, the very Aussie outback Cheryl.
Cheryl.
What's it like going from theatre to film then? You know, did you notice that shift, and is there a preference, or, you know, how did that feel?
Yeah, that was a big shift, definitely. I feel like especially going from Shirley to Willow, because Shirley is outgoing. She's as outgoing as you can get. She's big, she's huge. And then Willow, she's really reserved and she's really introverted and, like, deep in her mind and stuff, and also having to portray those, like, emotions, because you have to portray them really big for stage, and then trying to bring that down, make it more realistic, because otherwise you just look kind of stupid if you're doing massive facial expressions and your face is that huge.
Was it different, Ava, not getting the instant reactions as you worked, where in theatre, I mean, every night you two got some of the loudest laughs of the night, but then in film you had to wait all that magical night at Event Cinemas where it premiered?
Yeah, it was honestly more for me, it was the biggest shift was when I was directing people who were used to being on stage. So when we would have to have a bit of a small talk, remember, like, our audience is this big. Like, it's not a full, we're not packing houses and in the random drama room. So that was the more of a shift. I definitely felt it as an actor.
Did they come in too big?
Too big, and trying to, like, force it, some things.
Probably too loud as well.
Yeah.
Loud wasn't an issue.
And looking towards an imaginary audience.
Not looking to
far
the
beyond
camera
the camera.
Well-trained drama students.
Either not looking at the camera or not looking at their actor. Looking around like you would on stage. I felt more of that shift as a director rather. As an actor as well,
What an amazing opportunity, though, for your actors to be able to have that experience, because, you know, so many of our students, for example, have all that on-stage experience, and then they try to get an agent, and they've never had any screen experience, you know, and then they have to go and find courses, and they've got to do this and that, and learn to pull it back. So, you know, you've got an army of little Marist actors now that can go and maybe next is... start your own agency. Casting agent.
I just loved it when it was screened at just by the end of the sort of first or second scene, you could just see audience members kind of just move in their seat, almost sit up and go, oh no, this isn't just a school little performance. This is intense and real. And I just love that vibe in the space. I thought that was really cool. All right, we need to have a music break. So, Maddie, tell us, what if I told you, what's this all about?
Right, so, funny story. We needed pop songs for the film. We had, like, none, because for some reason pop songs are really hard to write.
It's hard to write cheesy.
Yeah, it's so hard to write cheesy. So I was talking to Miss Patterson, Keith, and I was like, I'll just go into the very, very back rooms of my projects from when I was younger. And I found this song, What If I Told You, which I had written when I was like 11. And I'd written it based on a book, I think. And I was like, this is cheesy. This is pop. JXJ would sing this. So then we chucked it in. I redid it a bit, updated it. And then, yeah, that's kind of where that formed.
All right, let's take a listen to What If I Told You.
Been looking back on all the messages, trying to search for hidden meaning, scrolling through pages of our photographs, trying to see if you look at me the way I do you. And every moment I spend with you, it's like I'm floating on a cloud. Crashing back to earth. What if I told you I saw it? What if I told you I saw it in the autumn? What if I told you I need you? Would it be the same? What if I told you I love you? Could you afford it? What if I told you I love you? Would you run away? They tell me what for what you are. What if I'm too scared? What if I told you I saw it in your tone? Could you saw it in your tone? Told you I loved you in your tone? Would it be the eyes on? What if I told you I loved you in your tone? Could you feel the song?
If I told you, that's fabulous, Maddie.
Thank you.
How do you feel listening back to something that you've written, like you're sitting in a studio with people listening to you?
All around the country.
Yeah, it feels really weird listening to it back. I mean, obviously, when I'm producing it, I listen back so many times that I get so sick of it. But then it's good to come back to it as well, because then I can hear things that I wouldn't have noticed before. Yeah, and crazy because it's got over 2,000 streams now from all over the world, which I didn't think was going to happen. So it's
doing great on Spotify,
yeah, that's cool. So the music has been really popular and you've released an entire soundtrack, is that right?
Yep.
So where can people hear and download that?
It's on all the major streaming platforms. So you go Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere else you listen, just search up Chasing Stars original soundtrack and you'll find all the songs there.
Awesome. Now, it has received, Ava, some international recognition, both the film and the soundtrack. Tell us about that.
Yes, so we've won many awards. So it's actually being shown in 3 different countries outside of New Zealand. So that's
that is so cool.
Greece, India, and in Australia. And then
Greece.
Yeah.
Now that's not a city you would expect.
Or India. Yeah. Awesome.
But Mr. Patterson's got
I have the list. Read it out, please.
The Greece one is at the Muses International Festival, which is in a beautiful part of Greece, and I don't think we can extend the school budget to fly us all there, but it's nice that it's being screened. There's a lot of indie film festivals, so we've put it up and it's got some traction on some of those. Awards like Best First-Time Filmmaker in the Montreal Independent. The Willows song, which is not the song that we just heard, but it's a song that it's the one that Maddie sings in the grass at a key moment in the film, that won Best Song in the Gothamite Monthly Film Awards in New York.
Brilliant.
And it's actually won 2 separate Best Original Story Awards in 2 separate festivals as well.
That is awesome. You can be so proud. We have every year, about September I think it is, we have the team in here from the One Day series or the Someday series, and they are young filmmakers who get grants through this project to go away, get a whole team together and write and script and produce a short film. You need to be signing up to that. You need to be jumping on to Someday series because they love all the original ideas of stories and things. I think, is it 12 minutes? It's that short, but it's full, like you get all the camera gear, absolutely everything to do it.
Amazing mentors to work with.
Yes,
from the industry.
It would be really cool sort of follow-on for you guys to apply for, because they tend to take them sort of young or straight out of high school as that sort of next step in the career journey. So check out the Someday series. Because, yeah, you certainly fit that bill with that sort of recognition. I hope you feel proud.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
It is all the work, everything we put into it is totally worth it.
How much was left on the cutting room floor? So what did you edit out? Was there a lot?
Actually, not a whole bunch.
Yeah, with this project like this, it was necessary to be very well planned beforehand, because when you're working with young people as young as year 7 sometimes, you don't want to be saying, oh, sorry, we cut your scene out.
True. So you want to make them come into the movies waiting.
Yeah. So it's really important that the decisions we made when editing were mostly about making sure, you know, people that got a chance to shine. So not too much left on the cutting room floor, although we did do some improvised scenes. So there's about 5 different variations of a scene with Maddie and Stephen, where Maddie calls Stephen all sorts of things, actually. Where they're having a fight. So that would be a great thing to see. We must put up the behind the scenes footage.
And also the one with Mr. Purdy and Mr. Smith we did about 5 times, where it was like a silent scene, but he just kept talking and it was so funny.
I think those would be very funny for the bloopers or behind the scenes reel.
Improv was so hard.
Now, Emma used to teach Mr. Smith when he was not so
very
tall.
Little. And now he's like double me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I go in for a teacher hug and I'm kind of at his belly.
So what,
love you, Nick.
What's the plans for next year? Now, Keith, you're taking a change of scene next year.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm actually not a teacher anymore. So, that's what this has done.
High five.
Yeah. Your wife said for the first film you should never do it again. You did it again and you're not doing teaching anymore.
That's right.
But we just walked into something?
It's not because it was a difficult experience at all. It was just so inspiring that I've actually got more into the music and media side of things. I'm actually starting my own record label, would you believe? And then a media business, which I'm getting mentored to do. And so I'm just on that road now, but it's partly inspired by this, as well as I've been teaching for 21 years, which is a whole Olivia Rodrigo, and it was time for a change.
Love it. Love it.
Measure time.
Yeah.
Well, I just saw her at, like, the age, and I thought I found out the same day how long I've been teaching, and then I saw, I'm a whole pop star's career worth.
Time for a change.
Yeah.
Time for a change. But, you know, the magic of something like this, would you be called back in to mentor something that's happening again?
Absolutely, yeah. I'd be dead keen to do all that because this is what I love doing. And giving people the experience and the opportunities, I wouldn't want to come in and mentor in the sense I'm saying this is how you do it and this is the way to do it. I think particularly with young people, they've got so many ideas of their own and they've got fresh ways of looking at things. Mm. And I see my role as more just listening and curating ideas and until we can sort of mould something together. But for me, it needs to be student-driven if it's going to be, enjoyable and worthwhile.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Maddie, 2025, what does that look like for you?
So I'm headed off to uni.
What are you studying?
Going down to study music technology down at Massey in Wellington. So super exciting stuff. And I'm actually doing an elective in film studies as well because I loved it so much this year. I wanted to see what else is out there,
That's cool. That's really cool. It's great to hear it all staying because you can see it's in your heart and your passion.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. And Ava, one more year for you. You're still at school?
Yes, I'm still at school. But so next year I've got deputy head girl, so that'll probably take up a lot of my time, I'm expecting. But me and the cinematographer of Chasing Stars, Fran, have started our own little thing we're trying to get going. So we've finished filming our first little short film. It's not incredible, but we're expecting to hopefully have that out end of January. We're on Instagram and we've been posting little reels every single week.
Fravafilms.
FRAVA.films is us on Instagram. Hopefully I really want to keep filming a short film, definitely not feature film.
Have you thought about entering the 40-hour film festival this year?
I was just about the same thing.
As a school group, I mean, you know, if you can't do the two-year project because you're leaving, perhaps something like that?
I have, but the only thing is it overlaps right over production.
Oh, no, can't do it.
This year was like the 20th of May or something.
No, definitely not. Silly dates, they should be
You'd think that the director of that show would have sorted it out.
Absolutely.
Useless to obviously not thinking of other people.
Awesome. How many people involved do you think, start to finish?
With this project, Chasing Stars.
Yeah. Did you count the credits?
Oh, I counted it up.
We had to write all the credits, didn't
we? Yeah, well, I didn't count.
And we had to spell them all correctly.
That took about four tries. I put it in the Marista as 30 people mentioned as crew and 75 on screen, but I'm not 100% sure if that's right.
That would be about right. It would be about 80 people all up.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, so the crew was decently small, I would say. But once we got the extras and all our little cameos, the cast grew quite a bit. It was quite nice,
Oh, that's awesome. Well, look, congratulations to all three of you for a fabulous achievement. I wanted to get you on tonight because of the international recognition it's getting. I just think is amazing. Well done to Marist College for allowing it to happen because I bet that took up some time and resource and just accepting that you were all busy on a very busy project. So well done, Marist, and hopefully it inspires some other schools to look at this as a really cool project within their arts curriculum. Congratulations and all the best for the next steps. Go and check out the Someday series. I want to see you two back in here winning those. Good luck, Keith, in your next business. And remember, we're here. Come in and promote your music, your artists, your media. Yeah. This is a space for you.
Thanks very much.
Now, Maddie, we're going to play out with Willow's song. So Keith mentioned this is the Long Grass number.
Yes.
Tell us what's behind this story.
It's one of my favourite songs in the film. So the lyrics and like the chords were written by two other super talented songwriters and co-musical directors. And then I came along. I learnt it the night before we filmed it, I think, and I created the entire melody and everything the night before and then performed it. So it was hard. But it's about... it's really where Willow finds her place and she realizes she kind of needs to switch ways and get back to who she is rather than who everybody wants her to be. Yeah, so I think that's the important message from Willow's song.
Beautiful. And Emma, you've popped the link up.
I haven't yet, but I'm going to. I'm sitting here waiting for the interview to finish.
And can I just say, there's a video of this song, the one from the film on YouTube, as well as the full film is on YouTube.
Yeah, so we'll post that up on our Kick Arts Facebook and social media. Here is Willow's song. Thanks, team. All the best for the Christmas time ahead.
Hey.
Emma, man, they have some talent. How cool is that for a school to put a project on like that?
I know, what a major project. And as well, how cool for the students to be able to say, one, their music's been played on national radio, but also it's being listened to around the world. Like, how cool.
Just awesome. Well done. Well done to all involved. All right, time for a bit of Christmas music while we get our next guest ready to chat. that was a really cool a cappella cover.
It was. It was very good. Very kind of pentatonic-esque.
Yeah. Perpetuum jazzle is, I think, how we pronounce it, Emma, and it's All I Want For You Is Christmas. That's
definitely,
cool.
Definitely had a feeling of jazz.
Yeah, very jazz. Now, our next guest, we played her fabulous music last week. She's joining us on the road somewhere in the country tonight, and that is the fabulous Asia. How are you? Good evening.
Kia ora. Good evening. Kia ora.
Great to have you here, and you were telling me you're somewhere just off the desert road.
I am actually. I've just pulled over in Waiouru, so making my way home, yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. Now tell us, take us back. Mm. When did your journey in music and the arts first kick off for you?
Well, I would say as a young girl, really. I feel like, you know, I've been brought up in a musical family, so music was all around me as a child. Anywhere from the age of 2 years old, as my mother would say. But, yeah, been sort of singing, I would say, sort of on the stage. It started at about 11 years old. And then, yeah, just over the years, developing, performing, and, of course, with my band now. So, yeah, music's been a big part of my life for a long time. And, of course, it's something I enjoy doing. So, yeah.
And tell us about your latest album that's just been released.
Yes, so Kawai means lineage, and this is an album that has been in the making for quite some time now. Especially for my first album, I wanted to, you know, create a product that would basically hopefully resonate with other people, but also really represent who I am and what I'm about. And so Kawai consists of 15 tracks. It's a bilingual album of te reo Māori, te reo Pākehā, and all originals that have been written not only within the 7 years, but, for example, Te Reo Ki Whakarongotai is about 26 years old, and that's a bit of a family heirloom. But, yeah, these are waiata that, you know, talk about the themes and concepts of te ao Māori, mātauranga Māori, Māori knowledge, and personal experiences as well.
Mm. I love, in your press release, you know, you've kind of, for those maybe that don't know what those concepts are, you know, as you've said, that it's a reflection of who you are, who you love, what you have respect for and what you value. And, I mean, that's so important, the whole ability to whakapapa back and use this kaupapa and this mahi to reflect oneself is such a cool way to be able to do it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, beautiful songs like Kawai, that was a collaborative waiata that we wrote when I was actually studying for my Bachelor of Teaching degree here in Ōtaki. And, you know, that talks about water, the importance of wai Māori, and also our lineage, our whakapapa, our kawai whakapapa back to those Māori deities or gods. You know, and our connection to water as, you know, kaitiaki of the whenua and our taiao, our environment. So, yeah, those are really important things. And obviously, you know, I mean, I'm a water baby too, so it's it's something, you know, just for example, that's definitely, definitely one of the tracks, yeah.
And you've just said that with your teacher training, so is that I'm going to say a day job. I know teaching's not a day job, but are you in a kura or?
I have been in a kura. And in fact, you know, over the past 10 years, I've been teaching in full immersion primary between here, the North Island and the South Island. And so that was very much, yes, my day job. And then, you know, come along my two young babies, you know, and now I'm fortunate. I've actually stepped out of that primary, you know, teaching role into, fortunately, I'm able to actually give back to the iwi members of my iwi, Ngāti Toa Rangatira and Porirua of the Wellington region, and run wānanga again for te reo Māori for each of these members and our runanga members. So it's something that I'm really enjoying at the moment, you know, although I enjoy teaching so much, you know, because I was teaching young kids and it's a rewarding job, but very, very busy with gigging and trying to write music and compose all at once, as well as having my children. So, yeah, yeah, that's my mahi at the moment as well.
And again, going back to your press release, the amount of people that you collaborate with, that's clearly a big part of what you do, is the whole feeling of a bit of manaakitanga in there and, you know, wrapping around other people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, just going back to, you know, who I have respect for, specifically, you know, Mata TK is a really dear friend of mine, brother, and he's produced this album with me. And, you know, he actually was, I suppose, the key to opening up new opportunities and new relationships that I was fortunate to build. And so the band members is who I was exposed to, some of them being from my previous band, Ayol, quite a few years ago. But, you know, Wellington jazz musicians that are all just, you know, Ricky Gooch, Daniel Hales, Louisa Williamson, and a few others. Like, it's just been so beautiful to not only meet them, get to know them, but to be able to share chemistry live on stage and develop these songs over the last few years, and then also head into the studio. And yeah, I feel like we made some really beautiful beds of music, for sure. Mm.
When you talk about live on stage, do you have a preference, live or recording music?
You know, I love both. I really do. Live has probably been where I've predominantly done a lot of my growing and developing as a singer, as an artist. And so that is some, you know, space where I'm comfortable. I enjoy the chemistry that I get to share with my band members on stage, and actually just work from, you know, a draft song to something that can, you know, have many versions of a song over the gigs, over the summer or over the winter gigs. So it's been awesome in that way. And then I also love studio when I'm able to be at home or do a home recording and just spend time on a track, you know, without any sort of deadlines, I would say, or any sort of rush process. So it's been fun doing that, you know, and then just experimenting with sounds and different instruments. It's, yeah, I actually enjoy both, for sure.
And you're quite at home too with winning a lot of awards by looks of things as well. We've got the 2022 Silver Scroll Awards. You've been part of Headline Newton Festival. There's also the 2024 Silver Scroll Awards where you performed a number there. Like, that's, and of course, being in the top 10, even being number one in the SRN.
Yeah.
What does SRN stand for?
SRN, that's a good
question.
I haven't seen that one either, no.
Student Radio Network.
There we go.
Fabulous.
Of course, and you know, the support out there has been amazing, and the opportunities to be able to, you know, to share these taonga with everyone and have such a positive response. I'm so, so grateful for all of that and what has been so far. So, yeah.
And pretty exciting, coming up in summer, you're going to be performing in the LAB Summer Tour.
Yes, we're prepping in the next week or so to have a rehearsal with a six-piece band that I'll take away with me to Taranaki and Taupo. But, yeah, absolutely stoked and excited to join LAB again for their summer tour. I've just recently come off the winter tour with them. So, you know, they're obviously one of our biggest bands here in Aotearoa. It's exciting. You know, it's really exciting. I was really fortunate to collab a song on their new album. So to be invited in is wonderful. Yeah. It's really cool.
Now, because you're not in the studio, I can ask this question because you can't slap me or kick me under the table, because I'm going to ask, is there a favourite song on the album? Do you have a personal favourite?
That's a good one. You know, there might just be a few favourites, but I think for me, it was actually the hardest song for me to finish. It just took so long. And so because of that, the joy and the pain of that, I really like Mutual Behaviour. It sort of, you know, captures different phases of my life, or, you know, how I would interpret my coming of and then who I am today. I really enjoy that track, Mutual Behaviour, for sure.
And if it was the hardest one to kind of wrap up, is that why it's the last track on the album?
Yeah. I really think it is. Yeah, I felt like, yeah, this is the finale. It is for me anyway, you know, but it was considered to be the last track, yeah.
And is there another album underway?
Well, there's definitely songs that have been floating around for quite some time as well, you know, that have popped up mid this project of Kawai. So, yeah, maybe a bit of an EP. I'm definitely EP collaborating with, you know, the likes of Ma, my cousin, and Leonardo Cogini. And so we've got a little EP set there, but, you know, I'm hoping to release a live of the album as well as some other songs that I've already released, and hope to share that pretty soon with everyone. So, yeah.
Beautiful.
A bit there.
Well, we're going to let you get back on the road and get yourself home, but before we close, we're going to play a track from the album. And which one did you choose?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the focus track of Kawai, and this next waiata is called Kōpere. But yeah, such a mihi nui to you guys for having me tonight, so thank you.
Thank you.
And a big thank you to Kate from Little Sister, who sent
Absolutely.
You our way. And Kate, I know you listen to every episode. You have been amazing this year, sending us some fabulous artists. So from us at Kick Arts, a big Merry Christmas to you, Kate. Thank you so much, Asia. Travel safe home. And here's that final track to listen to. Enjoy.
Amazing.
I think we then play, talk about that in New Zealand, we'll play that, and you get him on the phone then.
See my feathers in the sun, hear my voices in the ocean, and in moments my spirit still flies to the Kōpere, e kōpere mai te rā.
beautiful. Go and check it out. It's just such fabulous music. Absolutely wonderful. Now, time for another Christmas tune, as it's our final live show of the year. And do you remember a few years ago now when Air New Zealand brought out this wonderful Summer Wonderland song, which is meant to be Christmas Winter Wonderland song, with Ronan Keating and some fabulous Kiwis mixed in with it?
Yeah, it was a little bit of fun. I remember it was quite popular on the old TV, wasn't it?
Yeah, what was the young boy from?
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah, so we're going to play it tonight, and it is a little different because it's kind of sung with some interruptions in true Kiwi style.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening.
I'm going to stop you there, Roman.
Ronan.
It doesn't really snow down here at Christmas, yeah. So... let's go with your bro is glistening.
Because a lot of people get sweaty down here, it's really sunny.
You want me to change the lyric?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, your bro is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Oh, hey, Roman. I'm not really feeling wintry. It's like 30 degrees outside. Let's go for winter, minter, splinter. Oh, prickles.
Prickles.
Don't drink heaps of prickles if you're Nan.
Okay, with the boss.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, your bro is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, dodging heaps of prickles with your man. Gone away is the bluebird.
It's more like a greeny brown bird.
And I was also thinking jandals.
Of course you were.
Like
popping the plug out of your jandals.
Sand in your togs. And pahuta kawas.
Gone away is the greeny brown bird. Here to stay are the jandals.
We're just going to try
snoozing on a competitively priced Air New Zealand Sky Couch TM.
Right. Okay.
Roman, really?
Anyone here know how to sing?
Hey, Julian, man, I'm just not feeling it in there.
You know you can call me Jules.
Oh, you can call me Ronan.
Why? Is that like a nickname?
No, my name is Ronan.
Huh. Well, why don't we give it a go and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, well, I had this, right, so...
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? Sun bursting.
Ice blocks glistening, maybe?
I like that.
Ice blocks glistening. Beautiful sight.
Of Barbie's alive.
Of Barbie's alive. Strolling through a summer wonderland. Pour the sand in the sunshine.
Pavlova. So Pav.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Serve the Pav up at lunchtime.
Pop the bubbles for Nan.
Pineapples on ham. Strolling through a summer wonderland. In the arbor we can grab the wickets.
As you do.
The plastic cricket bat your brother found.
Yeah, right.
All your distant rallies.
So we pass the can of Aussie spray around.
Later on, sun is falling.
Your drunk uncle, yeah, he's snoring.
We'll hear the birds in the trees.
And the warm summer breeze.
Strolling through a summer wonderland. Way down here, Christmas landmarks. Summer flowers.
And funny landmarks.
We're happy and bright. Strolling through a summer wonderland.
Ronan, we got it.
Jules, we have it. Merry Christmas, dude.
Oh, Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Hey, do you guys need some sunblock?
Oh, yeah, Ronan might need it.
Yeah? It's 50 and off.
No, you'll probably need 70.
Wasn't that a brilliant piece of history? Good old Air New Zealand releasing that one a few years ago.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I wonder what happened to Jules.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Has he gone on to anything else? Haven't seen him for a while.
I remember seeing him in something a few years ago, and he's definitely grown up a heck of a lot.
Yeah, they do that. Brilliant. Wow. Now it's time to jump on the line with a fabulous guest, Peter Millett, who is author, along with Raymond McGrath, of Spotty the Zebra. Good evening, Peter.
Hey, lovely to speak to you.
It's lovely to have you on, and thank you for joining us on a Sunday night to talk about the fabulous character of Spotty the Zebra.
Great.
So tell us a little bit about this book. It's a fun picture book.
Yeah, it's funny where ideas come from. I started writing this about 2002. That's going way back. And it took me a long time to get it right, but I don't think I really figured out what it was about till I finished it. And it dawned on me. At school, I was very tall. I was 6 foot at intermediate school, so I was taller than the teachers and the principals. And what I found was everyone said, okay, you're a tall guy, so you're going to be either a basketball player, a rower, or a forward in rugby. And that's you. And I felt this weird urge to conform. And then as I aged up, I thought, hang on a second, why do we all have to fit other people's expectations? So that's what I guess is truly what motivated me to write the story about a zebra who's full of spots when everyone else has stripes. So it's a very simple idea about fitting in. And if you don't fit in, what do you do?
And I love that he tries to fit in by creating his stripey something. Oh, she's a she. My bad.
Right.
She tries to fit in, but nothing will work out without any doubt. Now, a lot of us women know what that's like, trying to fit into a certain look and it not quite fitting.
Well, I even had a friend of mine say, you know what, I hide my freckles. I shouldn't. And that's cool. I mean, yeah, that's an interesting thought that came about purely from the book coming out. I don't have freckles, so I can't relate to that. But it is interesting some of the reactions I'm getting from adults as well as children about the message within the book. So you've raised a good point. Yeah.
And I think a lot of authors, a lot of teachers, I should say, actually reach for books like this to potentially help people in front of them without it being so directly obvious what they're trying to do. Like, this is a great one to kind of use with a whole class, maybe, if someone, you know that one of your students is not quite being let in or not quite fitting in. This is a really good way to do a picture book study or do a process drama using it and, converting.
I think the process drama would be good. I mean, what I've tried to put into the story is, as we've mentioned, trying to make the change, doing the change, and then seeing what the side effect is. And the side effect in this case isn't really what was intended. It was a bit on the negative side. I think we all try and, I mean, I tried to fit in at school being a giant, and so I would stoop down or slouch or hide. But at some point you just go, oh, forget it. There's no point trying to be who you aren't. And in the actual animal kingdom, when a baby zebra is born, this is what intrigued me. How does it know who its mums and dad are? Because they all look like barcodes from a distance, don't they? So this is something I didn't know until I wrote the book. Mum takes the baby away for 2 weeks, away from the herd, in complete isolation, and the baby memorises her stripes and her smell.
Wow.
So when they come back, it's like, there's mum. I can see it right there. And that is just fascinating to have that. And that, again, promoted me to think when the character does change her appearance, it creates a problem because no one else can recognise her individually.
That's incredible.
That is so cool. Now, you've got beautiful illustrations in the book as well.
Yes.
That's from the fabulous Raymond McGrath.
He's a genius. I think this is the best artwork I've ever seen him do in a book, so lucky for me.
I was actually just about to ask you something about the illustrations as well when Stephen so rudely interrupted. So how much of a say did you have in how the illustrations turned out, or did Raymond basically just go, this is what I'm thinking?
I think it's so fascinating. Often when you are a writer, you never meet your illustrator, and it's kind of purposeful to some extent because you don't really want a writer come, like, I can't draw. You don't want me coming along going, okay, now I want this, this, and this, because that will completely kill the inspiration for the illustrator. A few things I did have to jot down just because I've thought about the story for 2 decades. But really, the look is entirely Raymond's interpretation of my words. So he's read the story, it's had an emotional impact on him, and out from that has come his version of Spotty. His drawing is nothing like I imagined in my head, but it couldn't be more perfect. So I think this is probably one of the best collaborations I've ever done in my career. We're both doing our own thing, and but it all just glues together quite well. I tried to create this as a story that you could read without the words. So you could follow the progression, like a silent movie, purely from the changes, the physical changes that happen as you're reading the story and then when you come to the end. And I feel we've got there. So it's a book that could be just art only, and you'd get it as well.
And have you considered having a Spotty the Zebra soft toy, maybe a little plushie?
I think that would be a good idea. I think anything's possible. And what I would personally love to see would be a join the dots Spotty. that's like a perfect symmetry with my story. So that's something maybe I can suggest to my publisher, they can get onto that.
I could definitely. I would buy a Spotty soft toy like that. I think she is beautiful. Mm. She's kind of got a cross between, like, if you took away her hair and put on a little horn, she's actually got a little bit of a unicorn look as well. She's quite mystic looking.
You are exactly right. No, that's so true. And the bonus feature was, I didn't know this, 3 years ago I learned that there is a real zebra with spots in Kenya.
Ah.
Tira, T-I-R-A is the name. And obviously it's a bit tricky because Tira is not in a zoo, so we can't have a controlled environment. So whatever happens in Africa happens in Africa. Mm. But there's a number of photographs that have been put online, and I've seen them over 2 or 3 years. So Tira is started off with a brown coat with dots, and it's still quite brown, but there is a real-life spotted zebra, which we were able to put at the back of the book, a little bio on the real-life zebra.
That's really cool.
Now, you're no stranger to writing. Take us back. How many books have you published now?
Well, look, I've been very lucky to do this. I started in 1998. First book came out in 2000. So from then to now, I think I've been involved with 100 book projects, which is very fortunate. And, you know, we've gone through a whole lot of changes. When I first started, there weren't e-books. There were just books that you held in your hands. And now we've gone into the internet. We've got AI creeping up on us. So I'm still going. And I basically haven't changed what I've been doing for 2 decades. I think of an idea. You sort of, you know, let it matriculate. You walk around the streets a few times. You think of a few more ideas. And then you get writing and away you go. So that is my world. It's a strange world to live in. I'm sure that people who look at me walking around the streets going, what's he thinking about? But that's what it's like. And then the bonus is I get to work with incredible artists like Raymond. I've worked with Jay LaGaia, who's a singer-songwriter. We've done some music books together. So I've got one of the most interesting jobs that you could possibly have, and I'm very grateful to be in that position.
Now, if you've, like you said, you've done over 100. How many repeat illustrators has been there, or is it each time a new one?
Well, that's another good question. There's been probably, I'd say, out of the 100, maybe 10 were repeat. But 90 would be new and different. I mean, just recently I worked with an artist. She's based in North Carolina in the States. Start of the year, a gentleman, he's based in Glasgow. So it's a big pool of talent to work with. And I must give credit to the publisher. The publishers work quietly in the background, the editors, the designers. These people are the magic potion makers. They can visualize how these books will look when they're made. So I must give them a lot of credit for figuring out how to match the words with the art. I think they're very, very, very clever at what they do.
And have you got the next book on the horizon?
Yeah, I switched between the short books, like the rhyming books, and the longer books. So I'm right in the middle of writing an AI comedy, which will take me a year to write. I'm already halfway through it. And I figured now's the time to write about AI. And there's some irony there because in a few years, AI might be writing about me writing about a book. You know? So I'm trying to get in first.
Brilliant.
I don't know which format I like the best. I, the Spotty is probably the most creatively satisfying project I've ever worked on out of all the books. But equally, this AI comedy is, when there's no pictures involved, there's just words, is the most challenging and satisfying mental exercise to go through. So I don't know which format I like the best. I'm just grateful to be able to do either. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, look, we wish you every success with Spotty the Zebra. It's out now where you can get great books from Scholastic. We do want to acknowledge Karen from Lighthouse, who has sent many authors to us this year. Thank you, Karen. You're fantastic support for authors in New Zealand, but also for our show, Kick Art. So thank you. Peter, have a fabulous Christmas, and I hope that many kids are waking up with Spotty the Zebra in their Santa sacks.
Sounds a great idea. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Now, Emma, are you ready? Captain Festus McBoyle has sent a special message for you.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's a song for our old cat, Patchy.
Dead cat, my backyard. Looks quite stiff and feels quite hard. Don't smell sweet. Dead cat lying at my feet. Get my shovel, dig a cat a grave. Sometimes two cats can't be safe. Cat be dead, but cat be free. I buried that cat by the coal fire tree. Little cat just learned how to fly. Cat be free. Cat be free. Cat be free.
I couldn't resist, Emma. We had to support the captain. Thanks, Captain. Have a fabulous Christmas, you and your cats.
Okay, we've got a few bulletins in our inbox, Stephen.
Cool, take it away. What's coming up?
So, James Noisky, I think that's how you say it, at the top of his game. So the New Zealand Comedy Trust is thrilled to award the 2024 top prize to James Noisky, a multi-talented comedian, playwright, columnist, podcaster, theatre maker and social commentator, known for his fearless approach and his ability to give voice to underrepresented communities. James exemplifies the irrelevant spirit of the Top Twins. Mm. So when I said it was the 2024 top prize, it wasn't like the top, it was the top.
T-O-P-P.
Yeah, T-O-P-P, as in our fabulous Top Twins. Jules and Linda Top often reflect on their mother Jean's advice, tell the truth faster. This philosophy not only shaped their comedic careers, but also resonated with the panel when celebrating James's impactful contributions to the arts and comedy. He has received a $15,000 cash grant from the New Zealand Comedy Trust to support his ongoing endeavours. Congratulations, James.
That is awesome. Now, the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium in Auckland is thrilled to announce its summer program, offering an out-of-this-world lineup of events, shows and activities for all ages. Running now until the 31st of January, the program invites people to stay connected to the wonders of the night sky, even as the days grow longer. So there's three programs happening from December 31st through to the 16th, where you can look up into the sky. But here on Earth, they have a special holiday program running from the 3rd to the 31st of January, which includes some fabulous Lego fun. So check it out at Stardome. It's here in Auckland, and stardome.org.nz is where you head for all the info.
Now, you need to save the date.
Do I?
You do.
Okay.
Jennifer Ward-Leland and Michael Hurst are on tour with In Other Words. So Figment Productions is thrilled to announce a nationwide tour of In Other Words. Now, this was a sold-out season at Q Theatre. Many people missed out. It charmed critics and audiences alike. So don't miss the opportunity to experience the unforgettable production. It's going to be in Hamilton, Wellington, Christchurch, Dunedin, Wanaka, Hastings and Auckland from the 22nd of February next year. So, yeah, what an amazing opportunity to get along and see it if you missed out. So check out Figment Productions, and as I said before, the show is called In Other Words.
Now, the Royal New Zealand Ballet's popular Tutus on Tour returns in February 2025, marking the start of a brand new year of exciting ballet. Dance lovers of all ages across the country will be able to experience two show-stopping classical duets, plus stunning contemporary works brilliantly performed by the stars of our national ballet company. Now, this is on Kapiti, Blenheim, Nelson, Kerikeri, Whangarei, Rotorua and Tauranga from the 21st of February to the 22nd of March. Head to rnzb.org.nz. Now, if you have something coming up in the new year, January, February, March, now's the time to get in touch. Email us so we can pop it up on our bulletins and book you in for an email. For an interview, email us at info@kickarts.org.nz. Well, Emma, with a minute and a half to go, this is our last live show for 2024.
I know, and it's been a great year, and it will be really lovely to have a few weeks of not coming in on a Sunday and celebrating special times with families, making memories and everything. And then we're back live on the 5th of January.
But next week we've got a fabulous Christmas sort of look back and catch up with some special guests from our year.
Yeah, and a chance to say thank you to a lot of really cool people that have contributed.
And then our New Year's show, kicking off a day before New Year's Day, I think it is some of our favourite interviews from the year. And that's hard because we've had so many.
Yeah, there were a lot to choose from. And of course, often we have more than one person in the studio at a time. So, you know, when it's two people being interviewed, sometimes it's not quite, you know. So, yeah, we've gone back through and found some solo interviews across the year from not just theatre, but we've got a couple of musos and dancers, all sorts of things.
Are you all ready for Christmas?
Oh, no. No. I've got till Friday to be thoroughly organised. Friday's when I fly down south, as I mentioned last week. So, yep, got a few days to sort it out.
Brilliant. Well, you have a fabulous Christmas with you and your family. We're going to play out with the New Zealand Army Band Christmas in New Zealand by Rosie Parsons. Make sure you have a wonderful time and remember to
kick some arts.
As Christmas comes around again in our own land, it's time to be together, take each other's hand. Chance to share the good times in the summer sun. Another family holiday's begun. It's Christmas in New Zealand and the time is right for saying I love you and watching stars at night. For barbecues and swimming out across the bay. How lovely to spend Christmas in the Kiwi Bay.
Hey everybody, time for a break, time to enjoy Christmas, but do so knowing just how well you've done over the last 12 months and how much we appreciate your great service here in New Zealand, around our region and all around the world. I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas to you and your family and all the very, very best for 2023. Oi! Cheers, sir. 3, 4...
Same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some.